On Friday evening, I watched the movie by Peter Jackson on the First World War. Jackson is best known for the Lord of the Rings trilogy, the Hobbit trilogy. But back in 2018, the Imperial War Museum in London, England, asked him to make a movie commemorating, in a particular way, the First World War. The title of this film is They Will Not Grow Old. And it's a 90-minute film that is narrated by men who had served in the First World War. And the film is made up entirely of archived footage that was in the War Museum that they were able to then use to create this very moving film. As the film is being narrated, the servicemen talk about the day that they were enlisted and moves to its climax where a particular battalion is on the Western Front, and on this day, they are to advance to the German lines. As we watch these next 20 minutes or so of the film, we see the horror of what trench warfare must have been like in the First World War. Countless images of those killed by mortar and machine gun attacks. The film then concludes with Armistice Day. And you hear the servicemen saying how surreal it was to realize that it was the 11th of November and at 11 a.m., the guns going silent. Then this is something that I had not known. But these same men then talked about going back to England, going back to London. And people back home, parents saying, we don't want to hear about what you experienced on the front. And in shop windows, signs with words that read, servicemen need not apply for work. Servicemen need not apply for work. They will not grow old. Points out not only the horror, the courage, and the confusion that was the First World War, but also the horrific finality of that kind of death. And it's not without reason that when we think of that kind of horror, that so many people subsequent in the 20th century conclude that when you're dead, there is nothing else. That's it. There is no more. But this is not a new phenomenon. This is something that is as old as our Lord's earthly life. And so it seems to me important that on this Sunday, before Remembrance Day, it was good to watch that movie. Not only because of what we will be doing tomorrow, but because of the text that we had from Scripture today. If you've never read 2 Maccabees chapter 7 in its entirety, I would suggest you might do that as a Remembrance Day devotion. We only heard part of that chapter. But what 2 Maccabees articulates, this was written at a time that was about 150 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. It speaks of another man who was like Adolf Hitler. His name was Antiochus Epiphanes IV. He was the king of Greece. And like Greek leaders before him, he wanted to Hellenize the world. That is, he wanted to make it Greek. And as so often happens in history, there is a particular hate for the Jewish people. Can you imagine what they were experiencing in Jerusalem at this time? The temple was turned into a brothel where prostitutes were doing their trade. The Torah, the Bible of the Old Testament, was burned. And then in our story for today, we have this incredible text where seven brothers and their mother are demanded to eat pork, which of course, as Jewish people, they would not do. And what is so remarkable about this reading as it chronicles the lives of this family is how, because they refuse to comply with the pork diet, each and every one of them is willing to be killed. Now imagine this. This is the worst scenario that you can think of. And we've maybe asked ourselves the question, what would I do in a situation if I saw a brother tortured and then I was given the opportunity to deny my faith? What would I do? Well, the first brother is tortured, had his tongue pulled out, his hands cut off because he wouldn't eat the pork. And then the second brother is demanded to do the same, and he won't. the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth. And then King Antiochus Epiphanes gets to the seventh brother. This isn't in our text. But you can appreciate, you're the youngest kid. And the king says to you, I'll make a deal with you. Just eat the pork chop. And if you do, I will give you money. I will give you a position in my government that you will be in a position of power. What would you do? What would I do? And the mother is still alive. And listen to what the mother says to her seventh son as he's being enticed with this deception. She says, whispering in his ear, my son, have pity on me. I carried you 9 months in my womb, and I nursed you for 3 years, and I've reared you and brought you up to this point of your life and have taken care of you. I beg you, my child, to look at the heaven and the earth and see everything that is in them and recognize that God did not make them out of things that existed. And in the same way, the human race came into being. Do not fear this butcher, but prove worthy of your brothers. Accept death, so that in God's mercy I may get you back again along with your brothers. What a mother. What faith. A faith that we see articulated in the quotes from the four brothers that we did hear from this morning. Let me just remind you of son one, what he said to the king. What you intend to ask and learn from us, for we are ready to die rather than transgress the laws of our ancestors. Son number two says to King Antiochus Epiphanes, you accursed wretch, you dismiss us from this present life, but the king of the universe will raise us up to an everlasting renewal of life. Isn't that beautiful language? Raise us up to an everlasting renewal of life because we died for his laws. And then the third brother, he says, here, it's my tongue, here are my hands, cut them off. And then he says, I got my tongue, I got my hands from heaven. And because of his laws, that is God's laws, I disdain them. But from him, I hope to get them back again. And then finally, it concludes with the words of the fourth son. One cannot but choose to die at the hands of mortals and to cherish the hope God gives of being raised again by him. But for you, Antiochus Epiphanes the fourth, there will be no resurrection to life. Now, I'm not very familiar with the book of Maccabees. And before this weekend, I was not very familiar with this text. But it's stunning in terms of how it articulates the Jewish view that it's not just about the immortality of the soul, but the resurrection of the body. But as was true 150 years before Jesus, as was true in the time of Jesus, as is true today, there are many people who say, when you're dead, you're dead. And of course, in the first century, the Jewish people who represented that view were the Sadducees. They were the most powerful, they were the most wealthy, they were the most influential, but they thought, when you're dead, you're dead, that's the end. And the only part of the Bible that they adhered to as being scripture were the first books, the first five books, the books of Moses. And so, in our story from the New Testament, which is so beautifully coupled with the Old Testament reading, we have seven more brothers. But these brothers aren't tortured and killed for their faith. They die of natural causes. And these Sadducees think they're so smart. We've got Jesus now. Because all seven of them married the same woman. And Jesus, no kids were born. That's a problem. So in the resurrection, who is she going to be married to? And the answer Jesus gives is one of the most concise, one of the clearest statements about the resurrection to eternal life. If you understand this, and if you believe what Jesus says here, you will know with absolute confidence that the resurrection is not only real, but we have an insight into what will happen to us after we die. So what does Jesus say? Those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who belong to that age to come, who are considered worthy of a place in that age, and in the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. So here's the first point. Marriage is only for this life. Marriage is one of the seven sacraments that is only intended for now. In the resurrection, Jesus says we will not be given in marriage. Now, does that mean you won't know your husband or your wife? Of course not. We believe in the communion of the saints. But the nuclear family, the earthly family, is for now. In the resurrection, Jesus says, we will be sons and daughters of the resurrection. We will be children in heaven. So here's the thing. In heaven, everyone will be celibate. That's what Jesus is saying. So do you see why within the Catholic Church, we ask for some people now to take that vow of celibacy? It's because that celibate vow is an anticipation of what Jesus says about the reality of heaven. And here's the second point. We do not become angels. Many people think that when we die, we get wings and we become an angel. We don't. But Jesus does say we will be like the angels. Why? Well, he gives us the answer, because we cannot die anymore. Just as the angels are immortal, so too we will be immortal. We will be children of the resurrection. And so in conclusion, on this Sunday, when not only do we remember those who have died through war, but as a week ago Friday, we remembered and celebrated the saints. And on November the 2nd, we remember the dead who are in purgatory. And you're invited to, if you haven't had a chance to yet, to sign the Book of Remembrance, to remember those you love, that you continue to pray for. And we have this amazing hope that this age, thankfully, is only the first age. And this is an age that can be characterized by the horror of the Western Front. This is an age that can be characterized by the horror of Adolf Hitler, of Antiochus Epiphanes IV. But this is also the age when men and women commit themselves to one another in the covenant love of marriage, when people called to live the life of celibacy, to those who are called to live in community, have the courage to say there is something that is worth living for and is therefore worth dying for. And part of the gift of being Canadian is that we come from a society and a culture where we might be forgetting this reality, but it's intrinsic to who we are. Do you know in Ottawa, on the Parliament buildings, there is a quote from Psalm 72, that he, God, would have dominion from sea to sea to sea. In a growing age of skepticism, of agnosticism, of atheism, in a growing age where people just say the evidence just seems to be so convincing that when you're dead, you're dead, we say, not at all. Because we stand with our Savior. We stand on this Remembrance Day weekend thinking of how in movies like They Will Not Grow Old, or that story from 2 Maccabees, that we are to be inspired to believe with ever greater confidence that that second age is the age that we celebrate every Sunday at Mass. The Mass is that new age entering into this age. And in a very few minutes, you're going to say these words: I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. You can bet your life and your death on these words.